Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show where we explore the many methods of transformation and aim to mine a few nuggets of gold that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature, even though sometimes it might feel counterintuitive, like the nightingale, a bird that sings out in the dark. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's lovely to have you with me. Once again, today's show is brought to you in association with NasalGuard, the drug-free nasal gel that uses electrostatic technology to block harmful airborne contaminants. It blocks indoor and outdoor allergens, so it's great for travellers as well as people with pet allergies. We'll hear from a NasalGuard ambassador later in the show, but first, it's May already. How did that happen? It doesn't really feel like the merry month of May yet, but I have high hopes that warmer weather is on the way and all will be well. May is my favourite month of the year. My birthday's in May for a start, but I also love the May blossom, the smell of that hawthorn in our hedgerows, the elderflower, and all the fabulous spring growth in our gardens, parks and countryside. I kind of spend May on a dopamine high, getting so much pleasure in so many ways throughout the month. And I'd never thought of too much dopamine being bad for you until I spoke with my guest today, Claudia Dumont, who is a holistic health expert and coach. Apparently, dopamine detoxing or a dopamine fast is a thing. It's aimed at reducing overstimulation and resetting the brain's reward system. I asked Claudia how something associated with pleasure can really be bad for us.
Yes. So dopamine is known, I suppose, as the feel-good hormone. So that's probably where we get that perspective of it is a really good thing, right? It gives us pleasure when we do something and we feel good about it afterwards. We're all kind of chasing that ethereal happiness. So why should I stop doing that? I think the challenge we have nowadays, because obviously dopamine has been around in our bodies as humans since forever, and back in the past, it worked as a way to keep us alive and helped us evolve and progress. Unfortunately, today, where we don't necessarily need so much of those skills, we are surrounded by very easy ways of getting dopamine. So our Instagram feed has been cleverly designed by the amazing technology companies to give us a little bit of a hint and a peek of dopamine when we get likes on our posts or comments on our posts. And those are just little tricks that they've used to keep us coming back, or the feed that keeps forever updating because we are by nature wanting to explore and find new things. And so that also gives a little bit of a release of dopamine. Then we have our emails, our WhatsApps, our Netflix programs, the content that keeps refreshing that we can binge on, the sugar that we have in all of our food. I mean, it's kind of ever present, the opportunities for the release of dopamine. And what happens actually is then we kind of start chasing dopamine almost, because we can feel good all the time with these things, but some of these things are obviously not that healthy for us. And that's where the challenge is. A little bit of scrolling on the phone is fine, but if we're finding ourselves sitting there for hours, obviously that means we're not moving, we're not out in nature, we're not doing other things that could be healthier for us. And of course, there are a lot of things with scrolling on social that also can have negative impact, the comparison aspect, et cetera. So it's simply the fact that the more dopamine we are exposed to, the more we want. And then we kind of keep chasing that dopamine fix on things that maybe are not that healthy for us. And then the simple things that should be giving us those pleasures almost become not so appealing anymore. You know, the walk in nature, the conversation with a friend, they almost don't become as exciting as playing on a video game and getting to the next level. So that's where it becomes a little bit of a tricky dynamic with dopamine.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Interesting that you mentioned sugar, but we all tend to think of sugar as being a physical, well, dopamine is physical, but do you know what I mean? It's more like a sort of a physical addiction, like an addiction to any other drug. Although, again, dopamine is a chemical. It's so interesting what you're saying, because I was coming back this morning. I had a swim this morning in the sea. It was a bit misty this morning, which is ridiculous. You know, it's May, but I was just thinking this morning, here I was having a swim in the sea, and I was with somebody, you know, one of my swimming buddies, and we sat down after we'd got changed and got, we were getting warm and having a hot cup of tea or whatever we were having in a chat. And I thought, yeah, this was my morning dopamine fix, right?
Yeah.
And it's so much more pleasurable in a way than sitting scrolling on a phone. And it's so interesting that you're saying that we're not seeing that anymore as something which we want to do for pleasure, which is, you know, ultimately what dopamine is telling our body that we have.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, unfortunately, nowadays, we are kind of led by what some big brands, I suppose, want us to do, whether it be the cereals on the shelf, whether it be the processed foods we're eating, the social media feeds that we're constantly on. Those are all kind of cleverly created products, whether it be food or an app, that really do tap into that that area of the brain that wants that pleasure. And actually what's really important nowadays is to become aware of that and to take a little bit more agency back and a little bit more control back to say, yeah, these things, they're fine. You know, it's not necessarily about abstaining forever, but it's acknowledging it's just one form of getting a little dopamine fix, and that there is a time to turn off or stop eating the highly processed foods and be acknowledge that there are more natural, sustainable ways to get that fix. So it is also kind of making sure that people become very aware of that and know when they're heading down the path of, you know, number of bad behaviors that ultimately have quite serious health risks associated with them. You know, there's a massive increase in stress, in anxiety, in depression, burnout at work for constantly being on emails and constantly contactable. So there's a number of ways that we get our dopamine fix in different parts of our lives. And it can lead to quite negative health implications. So it really is important to be aware of those.
Yeah, so let's just talk a little bit about the negative health implications, because you say that sleep deprivation is one thing. We're not sleeping as well because of this addiction that we have.
Yeah, absolutely. So, sleep is absolutely one that, you know, we're becoming a little bit more aware of. But of course, a lot of us take our phones into the bedroom. And before we go to sleep, it's just a final check of the news, maybe, or final check of an email on my work app, because that's also on my phone. Or there's the telly in the bedroom and just a little watch of Netflix. And actually, that just sparks a bit of, that stimulates your brain. Obviously, the light coming from the technology is not conducive to a good night's sleep. And we're not necessarily allowing ourselves to follow a circadian rhythm, really, so that actually when it is time for bed, we're kind of following that rhythm of winding down as the sun goes down, and allowing our brains to stop and pause and rest before we actually get into sleep. So there is, you know, we give our kids a bedtime routine, and actually we could benefit from as adults a really nice bedtime routine that enables us to switch off. And that's where this, you know, dopamine detox comes into it. Partly it is about switching off from the constant noise and over stimulation of the outside world that we're allowing to come into our lives. As I also mentioned, you know, a little bit about work. I mean, burnout is hugely on the rise. You know, gone are the days where you leave the office and you don't get contacted from work. And of course, you know, since COVID, the ability to be flexible with work, hybrid working, remote working is amazing, but it does also mean that, you know, we are maybe on our phones a lot more. We are working a lot more, and work can obviously be one of those dopamine fixes. It gives us pleasure, or, you know, gives us a buzz. But sometimes that then goes too far, and that's when we start experiencing burnout. And burnout is stress, it can be anxiety. And of course, ultimately, if really we are not eating well, or we're not moving because we're sitting watching telly all the time, or playing video games all the time, that also has an implication on our physical well-being. If we're not moving as much, you know, that's going to affect how we physically are. So there are a number of implications from a mind, a body, and a soul perspective with getting kind of addicted. And it is an addiction nowadays.
Yeah, and it strikes me that actually our problem is overconsumption all across the board.
Yes, but it takes, you know, quite, or what feels like quite a lot of self-control not to overconsume, because it is everywhere. It is constant, and it is constant noise. And that's where the concept of a dopamine detox is actually a really wonderful thing, because we need to start to understand that overstimulation leads to ill health in various different ways, and that we need to kind of take a little bit of that control back on how we live our lives in a healthy way that is sustainable, that allows us to live a long, joyful life without relying on these, you know, this instant gratification. And we don't wait for anything anymore. You know, we can deliver food to our house with the click of a finger. You know, we have the program we want with a click of a button. We don't need to wait any longer for that episode to be released in a week's time. It's just that constant instant gratification. And actually, that's very overwhelming for our systems.
Yes. And so given that we now understand how dopamine can be bad for us, mm-hmm. in the sense that we become addicted to it, or we are overconsuming and getting more and more of that dopamine in our systems constantly, which is then a problem, how do you go about detoxing from this? I mean, what are the initial steps, would you say?
Yeah. So ultimately, we can't get rid of dopamine. As I've mentioned, it is part of our bodies and forms a lot of different functions, actually.
Yeah.
So detox is not necessarily the right word, but I think actually it is an interesting concept. Really, the place to start is to identify what are the, and I'll call them, for ease, bad habits.
Yeah.
That you feel you're consuming all the time. Is it the food, the processed food, the sugar? Is it the binge watching of something? Is it doom scrolling on social media? What is it work? What is it that is kind of a bad habit? And if you're not sure, actually, but you know, you just know that you need a change, one thing that you can do is just start to create a tracker. So every day you can actually just write down, where have you spent most of your time? How has it made you feel? And you might get that instant feeling of pleasure and gratification, but you know, a lot of the time you then have a little bit of a downer afterwards as your body starts to try to rebalance these chemicals, and you'll feel it. You'll feel it in your mood. Have you moved today? Have you connected with somebody today? So actually just tracking your behaviors and actions for a couple of weeks could give you an indication. My goodness, I didn't realize, but I'm spending so much time on social media and I didn't even really know it. So, you know, that could be quite a nice way to start to identify what are those so-called bad habits to change if you're not sure already. But a lot of us probably do know. I would
We just don't pay attention, is the thing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's about becoming aware, and that's where this journal or tracker can mm-hmm. also help.
Yes, that's a good idea. Well, we'll hear more great advice from Claudia in a few minutes, because it's time to take a short break right now. Back after this.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 with me, JJ, the practical alchemist, and my guest today, Claudia Dumond, a holistic well-being coach. We're talking about detoxing from dopamine, and before the break, Claudia talked about tracking our habits and feelings. She did offer a caveat, though, as we'll hear now.
I wouldn't suggest trying to solve everything in one go, because that becomes really difficult. So again, identify one or two of these areas that really feel like they're affecting you. And again, that's quite easy. Generally, it might be, you know, the amount of time spent on social media, or I get home and do nothing else but watch TV, or, you know, I don't cook home food. I actually get takeout every night. I think it will start to become quite clear where the biggest areas are. And instead of trying to tackle everything, it really would be important to focus on one or two areas just to give yourself a chance for success. So once you've identified what you want to change, a good technique is to then try to think about what can you replace that with that is healthy, so that you're not kind of just stuck in the moment, because just going cold turkey on something can be quite difficult. So are you replacing doom scrolling with a walk outside? Are you replacing an unprocessed meal with a home cooked one, whatever it might be? And you can actually start to create some statements that help you. So if I go to turn on the telly, then I will take myself out for a walk, for example. So you can get quite clear about, okay, what are the healthy habits I'm actually trying to bring into my life? And actually focusing on the positive things you're trying to do can also help with the detox. So trying to just give yourself a chance for success by figuring out what do I want to focus on that's healthy, whilst also trying to detox from some of the bad habits. You then want to select a period of time that you want to do this for. So be quite clear with yourself. Is it a week? Is it two or more? Generally, on average, it takes about 66 days to change a habit. It is quite long, but actually knowing that is also really important. You need to just give yourself grace. It's a journey. It will take time, but actually making this detox maybe a little bit longer might also help when you finish to continue with your healthy habits. So it might just give you a little bit of a better chance for longer term changes to be adopted. So the longer, the better, I would suggest. And then don't forget that, you know, this is all about pleasure. Dopamine is all about pleasure. So actually rewarding yourself for successfully detoxing or successfully fulfilling a healthy habit, you know, rewarding with healthy rewards, obviously, is actually really important so that you can also pat yourself on the back and feel good about it. Because we're not saying you should never feel good and healthy habits are boring. No, you need to find the healthy habits that bring you joy and then reward yourself. And tell yourself, well done for doing that. So really, it is still looking for the joyful things. You know, this shouldn't be a negative experience. It really should be a joyful one, whilst it might be difficult for people.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's also social pressure as well. I'm sure that that you've come across people who say, oh, yeah, but, you know, people will think I'm an idiot or people will think I'm mad. I don't have a television. And I know that I am considered to be a bit weird because I do not have one. And I remember a couple of young children once coming to my house and exclaiming to their parents, she doesn't have a TV.
Where is the telly?
She must get very bored. Yeah, exactly. So there is social pressure to consider as well, isn't there?
Of course there is. And a lot of these bad habits can also come from social pressure. But again, it comes back to this acknowledging that some habits are really unhealthy and how they're making you feel. And one of the things I work with people on is a model called the think, do, feel model. Actually, that first bit, think, is really about who do you want to become? What is that person doing, feeling, thinking, being that you want to become? And you have to get really clear about your why. Why are you doing this? Because every time you have that social pressure, every time you have a little wobble to try to do things, actually, if you have a very strong why, that can actually be your motivation to stay on course. And that's not to say that you're never going to, you know, that the detox isn't going to be hard or that you won't have a wobble, you will, but that shouldn't be the end of the detox. It's just a blip, move back on. But starting with, why am I doing this? Who is that person I want to be at the end of it? Is a really powerful place to start, because then you can come back to that whenever you're tempted to go back on the bad habits. But absolutely. And the other thing, you know, that you mentioned around the fact that you don't even have a telly, for example, actually making it really either really difficult to do those bad habits. So is it the Friday nights after work in the pub, for example? And maybe for the next month, I'm just going to not go to every one of those so that I'm not tempted. Or making it really easy to do their healthy habits. So I'm going to switch my Friday after work pub sessions with a walk in the park with my friend. So I'm still going to do something, but I'm going to switch that Friday night to being about going to the pub, to going for a walk. And that's easy because I go out every Friday. I have a friend to do it with. And it's my colleague at work who also wants to do it. For example, like, how can you think about making the healthy habits as easy as possible to do? So the foods you have in your house, first day, if you're detoxing from sugar or processed foods, is remove them all.
Yeah.
Remove them all from temptation. So those kind of barriers to doing bad habits, making it really difficult. So the fact that you don't even have a telly makes it quite hard for you to put on a telly, because it's
exactly.
not there.
Can't do it. It's not there.
Exactly.
But it doesn't mean that I don't watch Netflix, because I have a computer.
Yeah, you can do it on your phone or other other device. Yes.
But having a television is a different thing.
Yeah, but there's a lovely study that was done once about somebody who wanted to get fit but kept coming home and watching telly all the time. And so he actually connected his telly to a cycling machine. And so the only way the telly could turn on is if he was powering the telly on his bicycle. And so he got to watch telly, but only when he was cycling and therefore getting fit. Yeah. So he kind of created quite a big barrier to turning that telly on, but it was also connected to a healthy habit that he really wanted to fulfill. So it is sometimes also getting creative about how to do these things and having a bit of fun with it as well.
It is. And, you know, again, while you were speaking, I was thinking about even last night, because I now don't have, obviously I don't have a television, so there is no TV in the bedroom, right? So that's out. And I was thinking how these days I leave my phone and all my devices in a separate room, the other side of where I live. So quite a distance away. So there's no temptation to, you know, if I suddenly think, oh, I wonder, oh, I'll just have, no.
Yeah, you would have to get out of your bed, feel a bit cold.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened last night, because I was thinking about something and I thought, oh, I should Google that. And I thought, yeah, but not now, because you're
now.
You're in bed and you know, it's time to go to sleep and you're going to have to get up and go, am I any the worse for not having done that right in that, you know, that instant gratification? No. I can't even remember what it was now, right?
So it was not really important then.
No, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. That's a great example. I do the same. My phone is in another room, and I kind of have my own bedtime routine, and I read before bed every night. Yeah. The lights are low, and I love it. I love it. You know, I've created something else that gives me a lot of pleasure, that is not bad for me.
Yeah. Yeah, so important. Well, I mean, I think it's a really interesting concept, and I think it's something that we all should have a think about more often, and that is how much dopamine we're getting into our bodies and how we're getting it in, and whether it's a healthy way of getting dopamine into our systems. Because as you say, we're not going to eradicate it. It's not something we want to do without. It's just, how are we getting that pleasure? Is it a healthy way of getting that dopamine fix? And how can we change those habits into something that is much more healthy? Fantastic. So thank you very much for coming on the show and talking about this today, Claudia. Now, if anybody wants to get in touch with you and maybe find out a bit more and maybe ask you for some coaching or whatever, where do they find out more about you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been fantastic. So thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
I am on Instagram and my feed is at We Are Minimondo. And I'm online at www.weareminimondo.com. And everything will be on the website. I have coaching, online courses, ebooks, and some well-being products that can also help people on their journey to changing their habits.
Brilliant. I love that. And I did want to ask you earlier, but we got into the dopamine so quickly. Where does the name come from, Minimondo?
Yeah, thank you for asking. My background is I'm actually of Italian heritage or descendant. Yeah. And so Mondo is world in Italian. And so Minimondo was really created around this concept of nurturing your world and nurturing your mini world, with mini changes, mini habits. And those small things can lead to big changes down the line. So that's the idea behind the name.
Brilliant. I love that. Oh, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thanks, Claudia.
Thank you. It's been wonderful.
Claudia Dumont there. Fabulous. Do check out her website. You'll find the details of all her courses and coaching programs, as well as how to contact Claudia if you want a one-on-one session. Now, it's time for another short break. I'll be back with more right after this.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. You're listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio station. I'm JJ, the practical alchemist, looking forward to a more merry month of May. At the top of the show, I mentioned loving the elderflower that normally blossoms around this time of year. What I don't love is the hay fever it seems to give me for a few weeks every year. I'll be using Nasal Guard regularly from around now to make sure that this year I'm free from sneezes and sniffles. But Nasal Guard isn't just good for seasonal allergies. Pooja Hanaganti is an ambassador for the product, and she told me just how much Nasal Guard has turned her life around.
Well, I'm a college student, so I'm actually wrapping up my journey with my college endeavors. So very exciting for me, but I will say, alongside that, it's kind of thrusted me into so many positions where I've had to be in big lecture halls and sitting, concentrating on an exam or studying in the library. And it was really like those moments in public where I would realize like how bad my, like my nose, my, this is so gross, but like my snot. My snot, my allergy, my allergic reactions I've been getting. I mean, honestly, sometimes it would just take one or two sneezes and I would just be sniffling throughout the lectures. And it really just got to a point where I was like, sometimes I wouldn't want to go to class. Sometimes I would just wake up feeling really anxious about what I was going to be doing that day, if I were going to be around a lot of people. And I even noticed that sometimes like somebody would walk into the room and I would catch a whiff, no big deal, and then start sneezing. So clearly there was a triggering effect that would lead to me sneezing. And that's when I started branching out and asking like, okay, what are my options? Where can I go? And that's when I found Nasal Guard, lo and behold, and have been using it ever since. So.
Wow. So how long has that been? How long have you been using it?
I'd say for about a year now.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you know what's causing your reaction? Is it an allergy? Is it like people who have cats, for instance, who you stand next to, you suddenly get triggered?
Yes. Actually, it's so funny you say that because it's specifically cats for me.
A lot of people are. A lot of people really are.
That makes me feel so much better because growing up, I used to be so like ashamed of even saying that, you know, like, oh, people will be like, oh, meet my cat. And the first thing that I'd be saying would be like, oh, I'm allergic to cats. But now yeah. I can finally say like, I can at least be around them. I mean, touching them is a different thing because it's more of like a skin. It's also like a skin. I get a skin reaction if I touch my face. But now that sneezing reaction does not happen anywhere near as much whenever I'm around cats or other animals. Dogs, I'm typically fine around, but I will say there are like certain perfumes, like little tinges in perfumes or scents here and there that, like I said, when somebody would just walk into the room, I love the smell. I can notice somebody walked into the room, but then my nose would start freaking out. I'd start sneezing all over the place and I couldn't even stop sometimes. It would be like a sneezing fit. So thankfully I found this and it really has been helping me out like immensely in those situations. Like I don't even notice it until kind of like after some time has passed where I'm like, oh, I've just been kind of hanging out, doing my work and like nothing even happened. So.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And actually talking to you about perfumes, I can't take, you know, the sort of commercial perfumes. I can't bear them. They give me a migraine. So I wonder whether Nasal Guard would stop that. I must give it a test sometime to see whether that would help. Interesting that you say that.
It's been an eye-opening experience for me, to say the least.
Yeah. And just to give people an idea, because a lot of people say, oh, you know, pet allergies. We've all met people with pet allergies. We've all met people with cat allergies. Well, I have anyway, because I used to keep cats. And some people I knew couldn't come to visit me because of the cats. But tell me how debilitating it is in your life to have this kind of allergy.
I mean, like I mentioned, I'm a college student, graduating very soon. So I have kind of had my experience navigating my allergies on and off with nasal guard, as I was wrapping up my time in college. So I've definitely had a multitude of experiences when it comes to being very inconvenienced by it to mildly inconvenienced by it. Definitely have had really good days and then have had really bad days. And that's why I really do love the product because I feel like even on a bad day or a good day, it's like it at least provides me this sense of comfort and this standard, like, okay, you're gonna be all right as long as you have this kind of vibe for me. So it's definitely a really nice aid for me to have. And it definitely the allergy aspect of it all, I never thought was gonna be me. So the fact that like I'm sitting here and admitting that like, okay, I've had bad allergies for a long time is kind of crazy because I just never thought I was gonna be here. So I am really happy that I found this. It's great.
And so you also have found it useful in terms of your general health, have you? Because you were talking about going into rooms, theaters, sort of lecture theaters with loads of people in there. So it's also been good for your health.
Oh my gosh, you won't even believe the stuff that is in old, dingy, like lecture halls. You just don't see it until you're kind of there for long enough and you're like, has anybody like checked this place out? Like, so I can totally relate with that feeling as well, where it's just kind of you're all over the place, and especially with the dust. And honestly, post-COVID, I had been kind of looking for some way to sanitize a little bit more effectively than just lathering on hand sanitizer or whatever that literally just dries your skin out. So this is such an amazing alternative for your face that actually provides that sense of comfort and that extra barrier of relief. It's amazing.
So obviously, hand sanitizer does have, it does give people problems because it really dries out your skin. For a lot of people, they just can't use it because it's just so bad on their skin because of the alcohol and everything like that in it. So tell me what your experience is. I understand that the thing about nasal guard is that you just don't even feel you're using it.
Oh my gosh, I really wish I knew about it sooner because it's so convenient to use. I have so many ways I love to use it too because it's kind of gotten me more into like my skincare, funny enough, because now it's like another added step in my skincare and I look forward to it so much. But obviously, like, I do my skincare for me, I do my skincare before that. Before I apply nasal guard. So, for example, I'll do like my moisturizer, maybe like a little serum for my face, and then like an eye cream. And then I'll dollop on a little like pea-sized amount of the nasal guard product onto my nostrils, and I'm good to go. And then, like, literally, just how you mentioned, like, it's so hard sometimes to like know that you put it on in a way because you just don't realize it. And I think a big part of that is because it doesn't even like, so when it dries, it's almost like you would expect it to dry and like harden over your nose. Like that does not happen. It's actually like very moisturizing for your nose. So in a way, it kind of like gives me that moisturization and that better like breathing effect than really anything else I've tried before. So personally, like after this, I'm like, I can't stray away. I'm a little scared to like try something else and like have my nose dry out or something. So
I mean, from my own experience of it, it really does feel like nothing on your face. It really feels just like you've put the nicest moisturizer on under, around your nostrils. It's so, well, you just don't know it's there. And I love that about it.
I agree. I think actually, I've recently been trying the cool menthol flavors, which have been such a nice, like, breath of fresh air every now and then, like, literally, because when you put on that scent, it kind of opens up your nostrils like a little, like a, I don't know what it's called when your sinuses open, but that's kind of what it creates, which is so refreshing. And I've been a little bit like apprehensive to try it before because, like, I'm a little bit sensitive to scents, as I mentioned earlier, but thankfully it's working just fine for me, and I love using it.
Yeah, well, I was just going to ask you about that because, you know, if you are sensitive to perfumes, to scents, that could be a problem, but not with nasal guard. And I don't know about you, but I have very sensitive skin and I'm very careful about what I put on my skin. So I, you know, was curious to see how nasal guard would perform. But for me, it's not giving me any problems. And I'm guessing that's the same for you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Even over my makeup, it's perfect to kind of tag on before I go out anywhere. And that's usually my best time that I like to use it, usually like right before or after I apply makeup, typically after. So like it stays on for longer and I can just kind of reapply it if I want to. But if I'm also done with taking my makeup off, sometimes I'll just like add a little bit on just because why not? But
yeah, you're a student, and so you're probably very mindful of your pocket and how much things are costing. So what do you think about the cost of nasal guard?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really great question because I mentioned before, like I've been kind of facing these allergies for months, like close to a year. And again, I really didn't want to like accept that it was that bad. Until I got myself kind of checked out and looked at, and I realized like, okay, this is a real thing. I am allergic to a lot of stuff. And one of the main things that had been recommended to me was to search through like drugstore products and remedies that people have tried and tested to kind of figure out what works for me. And you know, the market for allergy products is kind of bizarre. Like there's a lot of stuff out there that you really just have to try and see what works for you. So I have tried a few things like over-the-counter pills and other like those like little pot things that you would like clear out your nose, like a bunch of stuff to try to see what it took to like calm me down. So, and also when you think about those alternatives, a lot of those can be so expensive and you have to keep buying them again and again. What I love about nasal guard is that when you get one, like a tube, you know, you can try that out, but they have like bigger sizes and like value packs that you can get for way cheaper. And they always have like discounts and stuff, which is just like such a blessing for me that I can like hop online and just type in like a little 20% off kind of thing. So it's not only just really affordable for me, but very convenient for me to take with me and kind of just try out, give to other friends if I need to, with the way it like dispenses. It's just, yeah, a completely different way to look at allergies for sure.
Yeah. And something that works, and also it's preventative and it's not a drug.
Exactly. It's very safe. It's safe for anybody to use. And I tell people that all the time because they're like, whenever my friends are like, oh, are you sure? Like I can just use some of this. I'm like, yeah. It's totally fine. Like I use this all the time. You're going to love it.
Yeah, exactly. So all in all, your experience with nasal guard has been extremely positive.
I would say so, definitely. It's something that I really can't live without. And if I couldn't, if it wasn't, like, thankfully, I can take it with me everywhere. Like, it's TSA compliant. I can pop one in my bag. I literally have one in every one of, like, my book bags and purses. All my friends will just step into my car and like open my door and be like, what's that? And it'll just be like all the little consoles. But yeah, I can't live without it. It's perfect for me.
Well, that sounds fantastic. And yes, as you say, it's TSA compliant. So you can fly with it in your hand luggage, and nobody's going to worry about that at all. And in fact, you know, it is suggested that it's great for air travel because, you know, when you're sitting on an aeroplane or even in a train and you have all that air just being recycled around you, it's a way of making sure that you don't take anything on board that you don't want to, isn't it?
100%. And it's so funny because I'd never even thought about that until I started using the product. And that's when I saw the versatility within this product and their product line. I mean, they have like a spray that I still have yet to use because it's like I haven't been on a flight lately, so I'm kind of like about to, I think in the next few months, I'm hoping to go travel. So around that time, I'm hoping to use their spray to kind of see how that could work for me.
Yeah, and how does the spray work?
Yeah, I believe they have two sprays. They have a nasal spray and then they have like a mask spray. So if you spray your mask with the mask spray, it should, I mean, I can't, I don't really have the product on me, but it should filter out airborne particles. And I'm assuming you can do pretty much the same thing that nasal guard would do, but for the mask.
Yeah.
But yeah, and for the nasal spray, it's essentially the same idea as nasal guard itself, the gel, but in a spray form.
Yeah. So with the mask, it's just giving you that extra layer of protection.
Oh yeah, that's, and
Yeah.
which is again perfect for traveling. So I will be grabbing one of those on my next flight.
Well, that's excellent. Yeah. So it sounds like you've had an incredibly positive experience with nasal guard, which is fantastic. And it is affordable.
You know, like a pea, all it takes is like a pea-sized amount, and it goes such a long way. Like just a little bit will last you the whole day. So I can't stress that enough. For me, it's like saved my days. Some really, really tough or, you know, stressful days, it's really saved me. So I can't be thankful, more thankful for that. Yeah.
I love Pooja's enthusiasm there. If you want to try Nasal Guard for yourself, just click on the link on the UK Health Radio homepage for worldwide delivery. And that just about brings us to the end of today's show, brought to you in association with Nasal Guard, the drug-free nasal gel that uses electrostatic technology to block harmful airborne contaminants as well as indoor and outdoor allergens. If you want to find out more about me, then do check out my website, thepracticalalchemist.uk, and also safehavenhealing.uk. That's where you'll find out all about my energy clearing work. You'll find all the links to my social media channels at my websites, as well as my new YouTube channel, Alternatively Speaking. For now, though, there's just time to say thank you for listening. Join me next time for more Practical Alchemy. Until then, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.